Vous êtes avec SBS French. Retrouvez les rubriques sur sbs.com.au/french.
Votre communauté, vos conversations. SBS French.
A great pleasure to welcome on SBS Dr. Nick Bapu. Welcome.
Thank you very much for having me.
Tell us about the Prime Minister's 2025 Science Prize for new innovators that you received recently.
Yes, yeah, so it was a great recognition of a lot of work I've been involved in the medical technology space, involving two main companies, one called VeinTech. We're developing a device that helps any healthcare worker find a vein more easily for needle insertion. So think about blood draws or getting a drip started. And another company called LabDub, looking at three different technologies that will help any patient to map their heart health at any place, any time. So really involving maps of the electrical signals of the heart, some of the key biomarkers of the heart, and also ultrasound images of the heart. So the innovations that we have developed in those two companies were recognized at the prizes, and it was a great honor to tell that story and to show that we can do a lot of this work in Australia and to showcase the great team that's behind the work as well.
Tell us more about VeinTech, which is based in Western Australia.
Yeah, so VeinTech came out of a program called Perth Biodesign, which is a program coming from the Stanford Biodesign program, all around making medical innovation more repeatable. So I met my co-founder, Dr. Catherine Aronson, who is an emergency physician, and she really had experienced this big problem in healthcare where nurses, doctors, anyone placing needles into veins would really struggle in finding veins and hitting them the first time. A lot of the time it's because they can't see the vein or they can't feel the vein. So we saw this opportunity in developing a tool that is accessible and available to anyone to visualize those veins that are hard to see or feel, and to then be able to insert a needle in line with that image of the vein that is being visualized. So kind of think of it as a stud finder is often how the analogy I like to use. It gives you an indication of where the vein is, but also gives you an indication of the pathway of that vein. So a bit like landing a plane on a runway, it provides a runway for the clinician to land their needle into. So it's something that we developed and started a company for in 2020, and have gone from literally an idea shape out of Play-Doh to our first patients that we did our studies on this year. It's a great achievement to be able to do all that in Australia and Western Australia specifically.
So when a medical person misses the vein, you hit the bone and it's painful.
That can certainly happen, yeah. I mean, often what happens is if they miss the vein, they can hit nerves, they can hit other structures. And not only does that sort of cause pain for the patient, but it also leaves bruises, it mm-hmm. damages the blood vessels themselves. So the kind of think of it as a pipe. If you've poked a pipe multiple times, it's not going to heal the same way. It will make it harder for insertions in the future, and also deplete some of the sites and the key veins for future medical use as well. So it's a very painful process and one that no patient likes.
Let's talk about your personal journey and as a doctor, and what made you choose the path of medicine research?
So I guess just to clarify, I'm a medical researcher and engineer by background, but mm-hmm. I've always worked in this medical space. For me, growing up in Mauritius, where I was born and lived almost half of my life at, witnessed firsthand what lack of access to healthcare can really mean for people that I love and for people that, who would have had a different health trajectory and sometimes life or death trajectory as well, had they had technology that was effective, that was available, and that was accessible. So I always had a passion to make an impact in healthcare. And while I was going for university, I really thought that becoming a doctor would be the only way to do that. But it was I've always had a passion for breaking things and understanding how things work and building things as well. So I did a double major in mechanical engineering and pathology to really bridge those two passions. It was only at the end of 2015 that I met my PhD supervisor, who introduced me to the world of biomedical engineering, really helping me draw the connection between the engineering and the medical. So if you think of, mechanical engineers in Perth are taught about pipes and pumps and how oil and gas in our industry here, flows in those pipes and pumps. When you think about the human body, you've got the heart, that's a pump. You've got pipes that are your veins, your arteries. You've got valves. So there's a lot of very similar structures. So this was the start of my journey in healthcare innovation, really drawing that connection. And then on top of that, I was fortunate to be part of programs and to be surrounded with great mentors who got me into the medical technology space specifically.
And as someone who was born in Mauritius, do you have any plans for maybe one day training and mentoring young people over there?
Absolutely. I mean, I'd love to give back and really inspire that future generation of Mauritians, whether they're in Australia or in Mauritius itself or anywhere around the world, to see that there is a pathway to achieve, impact for the world and for Mauritius as well. So I'd love to look into programs in the future and encourage a lot of students and young people to reach out if they can and if they're keen to learn. Because I'd love to really engage, that future generation. I mean, we need to make this process repeatable, and we need to make this process, look like it's something that's a realistic pathway, provide that mentorship. The mentorship side is something that's so invaluable. It's a big part of my own success. And if there's anyone listening who would like to learn more, please do reach out.
I was going to ask you, Dr. Bafu, what's your message for the young generation of scientists out there listening to us?
I think that's a great question. One thing I always go back to is start with why. Don't worry too much about how you're going to do things or what you're going to do, but really spend time reflecting on your own passion, your own story, and your own interests as well, right? And really define where you want to end up. Like, what is your vision? And then start to map out that pathway and start to map out like the how and the what's of what you're going to do. There's a great book by an author called Simon Sinek, which is all about starting with why. My message and something I wish I was taught early on was, to really focus on the why and not worry too much about the how and the what until a bit later. Because whatever you do, things are going to be hard, things are never going to be straightforward, and it is that why, it is that vision, that passion that will drive your success when things get tough. It is what will make you think outside the box to really drive something that you're passionate about, and it will also drive the decisions you make in life with, skills you need to learn, people you need to surround yourself with. Sacrifices you might need to make as well to make that vision reality. So really living by your own values is my message, and something that I don't think is always said directly to young people and aspiring young scientists as well. I think it's often focused just on the technical, the cool research, the cool R&D, but not enough on the vision, the passion, and the impact for the world.
Dr. Bafu, thank you so much. And as we say in Mauritius, bonne continuation.
Merci beaucoup.
Votre communauté, vos conversations. SBS French.
Vous voulez entendre d'autres rubriques comme celle-ci? Écoutez-les sur Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify ou n'importe où vous obtenez vos podcasts.